Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word.
Off because it's his house. They're tearing his roof apart. Peter's like, I'm going to kill these guys. But they drop the guy down in front of Jesus. And Jesus, it says that he looked and he saw their faith. Did you know you can see faith? Did you know that faith is a tangible substance? Faith is the substance of things not seen. It's the evidence of things you desire and you hope for. Isn't it amazing? Hey, and you know, faith is substantial. It says that Paul was preaching, and when he was preaching, it says he turned and he saw the crippled man, and he saw that he had faith to be healed. Isn't that amazing? You know, I can see that. You can go down a prayer line and you can see people who have desperate needs, but you can see the one who has faith to be healed. You can see people who come and everybody's got a need and everybody wants something, but you know, you can see the ones who have faith on them. You see the ones that are, oh my goodness, they are ready to receive. And everybody needs prayer, everybody wants prayer, but there's some people who are ready to take what God has promised them, ready to receive what he has commanded is theirs. Amen, Pastor, that's good stuff. Hallelujah, praise God, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's go to, you're probably there already, I need to go, I know. 1 Samuel chapter 30. It's a great passage, I love this passage. And here's David. David, if you read the chapters before, David was living among the Philistines. He's serving a Philistine warlord there. And they were going to go war against Israel. And they brought David along. And here's David. I guess he might be a little conflicted. I mean, here I am. I'm going to go war against Israel. But David's going along with them. And then they started to talk amongst themselves. They said, we better send David back. I mean, he looks like he's committed to us, but I mean, what if in the middle of the fight he turns on us? I mean, after all, he is an Israelite. So they said, look, let's send him home. So David got sent home from the battle. So he went a couple days journey with his men to go into the battle. Then he got sent home, so they're marching back. How many know you're walking for a few days? You're probably a little bit tired. I know I walked for 20 minutes this morning and I was pooped. But he's walked, he's marched out, and here they are, they come back. They depart, and that morning they return to the land of the Philistines. The Philistines went on to Jezreel, chapter 30, verse 1. And it came to pass that when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. They had taken the women captives, and where therein they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. Their wives were gone, their sons were gone, and their daughters taken captive. And David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. I mean, we're not talking no more power to go get water. We're not talking no more power to walk 10 miles. We're talking they cried and they wept until they didn't even have strength again to drop another tear. We're talking about a group of people who were just about to go fight their own people with the Philistines. Now they get sent home. They march all the way back home. And then they can see over the horizon, there's a lot of smoke over there. What's the deal with that? You know, and a few of them go, David goes, go see what's going on. They go ahead, and a couple guys go ahead, and they send one back. I know that's not in there, but it is. You know, if you read between the lines, you know what happened. And then these guys come back and say, everything's gone. They burnt everything. These guys run. They run to find that there's nothing left. Everything's taken. Everything's burned. Their wives and their kids are gone, and they wept until they couldn't even weep another tear. They're wiped out with sorrow, just beat right up. How many think it's probably just a bit of a miserable crowd? How many think they're having a bit of a bad day? How'd you like to be amongst a crowd of men, mighty warriors, giant killers, who are just smitten with their own grief and they can't even weep another tear? How many think that's probably a pretty miserable sight? Can you see it? They came there and they wept until they had no power. Verse 5. And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelite, Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed. Why? Because the people, and what kind of people were these? What kind of people that were added to David when he was out in the wilderness? Distressed, deaded, and discontented. Now, these people were a mess when they came to him. David turns them into an army. You know, they've got something. They got some substance. I mean, David's been, you know, bringing them up under his tutelage and leadership. And now everything's gone. And now these very people, what do they want to do? Let's kill David. How many think he got David amongst all these miserable men? How many think David's now going, this is probably one of the most miserable days of my life? Do you get the picture? How many think it's pretty awful? How many had your whole house burned down, your family taken, you know, and then the people that were your best friends are like, get some big rocks, let's do this guy in. He's just lost it. How many think that's a bad day? You know, the other day I was thinking, boy, sometimes I go through some rough stuff, Lord, you know. And the Lord said to me, he said, just go to the life of Paul, and I want you on one side of the page to write down all of your problems. Write down everything that's bothering you. Yes, okay. So now on the other side of the page, just write down everything Paul went through. Oh, he was whipped several times. He was stoned and left for dead. He was shipwrecked and left in the cold sea. He was, my life's really not bad, Lord. I'm sorry. David's having a pretty miserable day here. Pretty rough day. David was greatly distressed and he was grieved because every man for his sons and his daughters. But David, listen to this. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar, the priest, Abimelech's son, he said, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither, say thither. He brought thither. He said, go hither and bring. And he brought thither. Go hither, and he brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? Who will pursue? Who will overtake? Who will recover all? Yeah. Shall I pursue them? And he said, David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue? Shall I overtake? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Woo! Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. So David went. And he said, guys, we're tired. We can't even cry. I mean, we can't even squeeze out another tear. So tell you what, God said we're going to get everything. So we're going to take a nap now and maybe refresh ourselves tomorrow with a couple of fig cakes. And then maybe on Saturday, we'll start our journey. You guys here, or am I just seeing a vision? So, David went. Say went. He went. Why did he go? He had the word of the Lord. You shall pursue, you shall overtake, you shall not fail to recover all. Has the enemy ripped you off? Has he stole from you? Hear that word. You shall pursue, you shall overtake, and you shall recover all. Ha ha. Hee hee. Oh, hey. Stop running around the building. Chill. Just relax. Relax. Settle down. So David went. He pursued. And there were with him men that came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind. But David pursued. He and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. So, I mean, you got 600 guys, but 200 of them said, man, we're whacked. We're just done. We marched all day. Then we marched all day back. Then we wept till we had no more strength. Just toast. And David said, okay, you guys hang out. Who's with me? And 400 said, let's go. All right. And they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat. And they made him drink water, and they gave him a piece of cake and figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and three nights. And David said to him, to whom belongest thou? And whence art thou? And why is David asking him those questions? Because he has no idea where he's from. I just thought I'd point that out. From whence art thou? He said, I am a young man of Egypt, a servant of an Amalekite, and my master left me because 3 days ago I fell sick. You know what? There's a lot of Egyptians that got left behind by the Amalekites, and they're waiting for somebody to come and refresh them. Isn't that true? There's a sermon in that one right there. All right, and David said to him, whom belongest thou? And he said, we made an invasion upon the south and the Cherethites, and upon the coast that belongeth to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said, aha! Really get into it, and all of a sudden you'll go, wow, am I ever blessed. You know, when you start to focus on others, it really changes your whole life. Hey, hey, say amen. Say, thank you, Pastor. Amen. We went, we invaded the south, and David said to him, canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. And when he had brought them down, behold, they were spread abroad upon the earth, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of Judah. And David smote them. I love smote. He smote them. I love smoting things, don't you? And David smote them from twilight even till the evening of the next day. That's amazing. Twilight till the evening of the next day. Here's a guy who marched to go against Israel, marched back, found everything gone, cried till he had no more strength. 200 of the guys were so pooped they couldn't go on. David keeps on marching after it. Then when he gets there, from twilight to the evening of the next day, he smote them. Where's the hearing impaired section? Is it pretty much here? He smote them. He smote them the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men, which rode off on camels. Oh, they fled and got away. And David recovered all. Say all. David recovered all that the Amalekites carried away, and David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither great or small, neither sons or daughters, neither spoil, nor anything that had been taken from them. David recovered all. You shall pursue. You shall overtake. You shall recover all. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good? Anybody had something stolen from you? You had a wife stolen from you? You got a husband stolen from you? You got sons and daughters stolen from you? There's a word for you right here. But you know what? God's not going to respond to, you know, misery and woe is me. He's going to respond to a warring people who are going to pursue, who are going to, even when you've wept and you got no more strength, you're going to pick yourself back up. You're going to say, I'm taking this thing. And on the way, I'm going to bless everybody I can find, and I'm going to receive, and I'm going to appropriate everything that God has for me. Amen. Hallelujah. You have to shout a little louder because it's a bit of a small crowd tonight. We are taping this. All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Good, good. And David came to the 200 men, which were so faint that they could not follow. And he said, you lazy sluggards and dogs, you're not getting anything that we went and fought for. When we got there, we had to fight for a whole day because you guys didn't come with us. And so you're getting nothing. Amen. That's right. That's not what he said. His other men did say it, though. David said, because they went not with us, we will not, or they said to David, we will not give them spoil that we have recovered. Save every man, his wife, and his children. We'll give them the kids back because, my God, we don't want to have to take care of them. I don't want to have to take care of his family, so give him his family back, but we're not giving any of the spoil. I mean, how many would love to get rid of the kids? Amen. You can have your kids back, but I'm not giving you nothing. And then David said, you shall not do so, my brethren. With that which the Lord has given us, who hath preserved us? He delivered the company that came against us into our hand. Guys, it wasn't us going and fighting that won this great victory. We just showed up. And God's the one who gave us the strength to achieve this and to do this. I mean, we didn't do this on our own. These guys were too tired. You know what? They are going to share in everything that we have accomplished and everything we've done. Amen? So whoever hangs out with the baggage or whoever goes to war, everybody gets an equal share. Good word, good word. Amen. You know what? You might not have been able to go with Pastor Mark over there and see all those Muslims come to Jesus. You had to stay here with the baggage. You weren't able to go and do that. You know what? But the one with the baggage gets just as much as the guy who went, and he was the one who got to be the warrior. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that great? That's why you need to support those who go to the front line, because the law is and the rule is that those who go and those who stay with the baggage and those who go, they get the same reward. Yeah. Good stuff, I'm telling you. I'll be standing there with Mark and every one of those souls will say, thank you, Carl, for helping him, for praying for him, for giving him finance to go. And it's all a part of my reward. Yeah, I'm looking for stuff like that to partner with because I know that the ones who stay with the baggage get just the same reward as the ones who went and won the victory. Isn't that exciting? Makes you want to stay home, doesn't it? I want to go. We'll send some money, sow some seeds. And then you're there. All right, what verse was I on? And David said, not so, my brethren. And he delivered the company that came again. God did it, for Who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as a part is that goes to the battle, so it is the one who stays by the stuff. They shall part just the same. And it was so from the day forward that he made this statute, this ordinance in Israel, even to this day. David made a rule. He said, that's the rule. And it was so ever since. And you know what? It's so to this day, too. So to this day, too. When you go and you set people free and you tear out the teeth of the enemy, and you know what? If you were sending the people or you were the one who went, everybody shares the same in the battle. Isn't that wonderful? That's a great truth. So then David came to Ziklag and he sent the spoil to the elders of Judah. Isn't that good? Got to give to the elders. Amen. Got to give. You got to give up. Amen. You send up. You bless up. Bless up the line there. He gave even to his friends, saying, behold, a present for you, the spoil of the enemies of the Lord. And them which were in Bethel, and them which are in south Ramoth, and even them that were in Jathir, and to them that were in Aror. And look at all the people David sending gifts to. I mean, David had to go and do this, and then David came back and said, I'm so blessed, I'm going to bless a whole whack of people. I'm just going to give, 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 give. That's wonderful stuff right there. He said on verse 29, and to them which are in Rachel, and to them which are in the cities of the Jeremelites, and to the cities of the Kenites, and to, wow, he gave to a lot of people, didn't he? And then to them that were here, them that were there, here a boy, there a boy, everybody a boy, boy, and they all got some. And then in the Hebron, and to all the places where David himself and his men were wont to haunt. Every place where he wanted to hang out, and every place where he wanted people to, it says the gift makes room for itself. Some people said the gift makes room for itself. They think that's a spiritual gift. It's not. Read the context. The gift makes room for itself means money. And if you go before a king, don't go without a gift, because the gift gives you entrance. And when you come before the king, don't come empty-handed. That's in the scripture too. A lot of people come to the house empty-handed. It says never come. The gift makes room for itself. Never come before a king without a gift. He'll slice you, dice you, chop you, and send you on your way. Okay, boy, there's a lot of good stuff in this that I didn't plan to talk about, but it's all there. It's all good. Amen. Look, I want to give you some points tonight. Oh, I'm doing good. No, I'm not. That's the wrong time. Oh, there it is. Okay, we're doing good. Let's see what we can do here. Here we got. You know, the devil is a dog. The devil is a stealer. It says that the thief comes only in order to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you might enjoy life and that you might have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. Don't you love that verse, John 10:10? Why did he come? That you might have an enjoyable life, a full life, a life that overflows. That's a good word. But why does the devil come? To steal. The devil is a dog. The devil always steals. The devil works always, and it always begins, his work always begins with theft. Things he loves to steal the most is your faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So how does he steal your faith? He takes the word of God from you. He takes the truth from you. He robs you. And you know what? You need to go into this new year desiring to devour the word. If you're not going to go into this new year just devouring the word and wanting more and more of the word of God, that's the enemy trying to keep you from the promises of God. You need to get the word and get a rich dose of the word in your life. With your ability to believe, when it's gone, your ability to believe is gone and hope is gone and strength is gone, then he can kill and he can destroy. He destroys your zeal. He destroys your purpose. He destroys your marriage. He destroys your children. He destroys your health. He destroys your finances. The devil is after you. But you know what? You don't have to be afraid. The enemy comes to steal, but I have come. I have come that you might enjoy life and that you might have life until it overflows. This is one of David's darkest hours. Now, let me tell you something. In Samuel, 1 Samuel 16:13, it says, then Samuel took the horn of oil. He anointed David in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily. Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, and the Spirit of the Lord was upon David from that day forward. Tell me, does that day forward include the day that we're talking about? So the day that we're talking about was David anointed. Yes. Have you ever seen anointed people go through difficulties? Have you ever seen anointed people lose everything? But you know what? If you're anointed, you might go through difficult times, but the Lord would say, pursue, overtake, and recover all. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So here it is. Here's David, and here's how he manifests bold faith. You ready? Seven attributes of bold faith. Number one, if you're going to be bold in faith, first thing you got to learn is how to be still. Stop. Shut up. A lot of times, man, the first thing you start doing is when the enemy comes and attacks you, you start babbling off, freaking out, running there. Stop. Seeing way too many people, they start going through a difficulty and pick up the phone, freak out, call 200 million people. You know what? If you're going to hear from God and you're going to get focused and you're going to appropriate the promises of God, you need to be still. Be still and know that I am God. And that's the first thing David did. It says, but David. Verse 6 there, it says, everybody else was freaking out. They're running around trying to find stones. They're so angry. I'm so mad I could spit. And I'm going to kill David now. But what did David do? But David. While everybody else was freaking out and letting having a carnal fit because of the problem they were in, bang, David didn't get argued. He didn't get angry. He didn't run. He didn't hide. He didn't blame. Stop it. You know, if it wasn't for this, boy, I'm telling you. You know, if it wasn't for that person, boy, you know, maybe I should have done this. You start freaking out about everything. And you know what? If you are anointed and you are the righteousness of God in Christ, then this situation must turn around. It has to turn around, or God's not God. And if God's not God, it don't matter at all anyway. But he is God, and his promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Hello. But you know what? You got to be still, because right there you can start speaking doubt and fear and every silly frustration over the word of God in your life. And you can cancel out with your own mouth every purpose that God has for your life. So the first thing, if you're going to walk in bold faith in a time of incredible trial and circumstance, you must be still. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, say, be still. How many found a neighbor really, really still? Resting on the promises. Stop. Don't act out of your soul realm. Don't act out of your soul realm. Don't get angry. Don't get frustrated. Don't get emotional. Don't have a carnal fit. Be still. Number two, strengthen yourself. How many people were ready to stand with David and encourage him that day? None. How miserable was David that day? He just cried till he had no more strength. I mean, we're not talking about a great day. We're not talking about, you know, that I can strengthen myself. We're not talking at the pinnacle of his life. We're talking at the most miserable place in his life. David stilled himself and he strengthened who? Himself. You know what? Me and God are a majority in every situation. Me and God, I just got to turn and fix and focus my face on him. And you know what? I've already won. You got to learn to strengthen yourself. He encouraged and strengthened himself in the Lord his God. In the middle of a tragedy, David was drawing on the resources of God. Jude verse 20 says, but ye, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Build yourself up. Have you, do you know how to build yourself up? Do you know what it is to have nobody around you? Nobody speaking a word of life. Nobody who has your cause. Nobody who cares for you. Do you know how to, in that situation, strengthen yourself in God? You got to know how to do that. Number three, ask God what to do. Seek the Lord. Talked about it on Sunday. What's your problem? Your problem ain't your problem. Your problem is, what are you seeking? Because it says if you seek the Lord, he will deliver you from all your fears. If you've still got fears, guess what? You're not seeking God. You're seeking your fear. You're amplifying your anxiety instead of magnifying the Lord. Come, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears. You got to ask him. You got to ask the Lord, what am I going to do? And David inquired of the Lord. God is ready to give you a living word. Woo! Strengthening myself in God right now. Hallelujah. Anybody coming with me? Anybody? Psalm 138, we already read it. It says, when I called, you answered me. It says, when you seek the Lord, he will be found by you. Amen? How many know it's God's will to be found? It's God's will to be found. He's not going to play hide and seek with you. Oops, here he comes. Oh, nope, it's not his day for favor. Got to hide on him. God's not hiding on you. He says, if you seek me, I will be found of you. And he says right here, he answered me and he made me bold and stout-hearted. Woo! I'm exciting myself anyways. Praise God. I'll just tell your neighbor he's having fun, isn't he? It's good. It's kind of cute when he gets like that. It's lovely. He answered me and he made, I love that. He made me bold. Why are you so bold? I asked him. I sought him out. He made me bold and stout-hearted. You got a problem with it? Talk to him. Number four. He's going to give you a word. And what do you have to do with that word? Well, you got to hope that something might happen. You shall pursue and overtake them. Oh, that's good. Oh, thank you, Lord. Let's go to a conference. Hallelujah. No, you got to go. Go. Get on with it. You know what? So David went. He didn't wait till he felt better. He didn't wait till he got more strength. He didn't wait till all of his men were ready, you know, and all blah, blah, blah. David, he had to infuse strength into a crowd of people who were ready to kill him. In one day, one moment, he could have got on his camel and said, I'm out of here. I don't know about you, but if I had a service and suddenly the whole church rose up and said, you're a dog, you're an ugly thing, I'd probably say, well, you're ugly too, and I'm out of here. And I'd jump in my car and I'd go. Because, you know, you take things personally, but David, you know, we're going to stone you, David. Okay, talk about that later. Shut up right now. God says we should pursue them. Now, come on. He turned a bunch of stoners into people who wanted to pursue the promises of God. Now, that's leadership, isn't it? I mean, you take a bunch of rabble and turn them into an army of God. Wow. He obeyed the direction of God. Obedience is the acid test of faith. If you're not obeying the word, you don't believe the word. If you're not obeying the word, you haven't got faith in that word. If you're not walking in it, it isn't real in your life. You don't really trust God. But if you believe the word, you will act on it. You will do it. And you'll believe that he is a God who will honor his word. And he'll bring it to pass. Amen. Number five. This is a good one right here. Really good point. Stay sweet. Amen. You got to stay sweet. You know what? People of faith are sweet people. You know what I've found? And you know, a lot of faith people get accused of being mean-spirited and ugly. And I'm telling you, I've met a lot of faith people, call themselves faith people, and they're just mean. Just mean. Because the word can be cold, can't it? The word can be harsh. The word can just come across as, ouch, you're not helping me, you're laying a beating on me. And you know, if you're going to be somebody full of faith and full of boldness, you better stay sweet. And what I love about David is that he's pursuing right now. He's got a word from God, and he comes across an Egyptian who's almost dead. Leave him alone, guys. We've got a purpose to pursue. We've got a command to obey. David stopped there. He didn't know who he was, didn't know where he was from. Could have been some just crazy stranger just wandered out of nowhere. He didn't know that he even had the ability to help him. But David took the time to bless somebody. In the middle of his misery, he still took the time to bless somebody and honor somebody and pick somebody up. That was good, Pastor. That was really good. That word really struck me. Feed the Egyptian and bless the less resilient. He blessed the Egyptian and he blessed those guys who were too tired to go. You know what? I'm too tired to appropriate the promise. Then I'll appropriate it for you. Then I'll stand with you. Then I'll give you my strength. I'm not going to stand and pitch words at you and say, what's the matter with you? You're going to stand with the less resilient. You're going to say, then I'll appropriate the promise for you and I'll make sure you're blessed. I'm going to bring you through this. I'm going to stand with you and we're going to see God's word realized in your life and we're going to do it together. We're going to throw a party when we see the realization of it. You know what? You got to be sweet if you're bold in faith. And if you're not sweet and bold in faith, then you don't have it. Because the only thing that matters is faith expressing itself in love. A lot of faith people got no love. Drives me crazy. Come on. I don't know. I don't know who you're talking about, Pastor, but I've been with those people and it's been ugly. Number six, be thankful. Bold faith people are thankful people. Amen. Because here's David. He's gone. He's done it. And it's not like, wow, did we ever do good, guys? He said, you know what, guys, look, he has preserved us. He delivered us. He's the one who won this great victory here. And you know what? All the way through, you're thankful. And I love that about my wife. I mean, even today, she's trying to, you know, set up the figures for the new year and set up the new spreadsheet. She was having a hard time with one, making it merged. And all of a sudden, I heard out of the office, praise the Lord. And what happened? She goes, I made it work. God made a way for me. And I'm like, wow. You know, she's thankful. My wife thanks God for everything. I mean, she can cook a turkey and go, thank God that worked out wonderful, didn't it? And she just thanks God for everything. And I mean, she embarrasses me because she trusts God in every detail of her life. And I say, I wish I was a person of faith like you. You know, if you're a person of faith, you are thankful. He was thankful, and you always give the glory to God. And number seven, Number seven. How many know there's only 7 points? Number seven, share with others. People of faith always share with others because it's all about others. You got bold faith, you're going to bless other people. How many just a little refreshed by this? Just a little. How many just feeling really tired, ate too much at New Year's, a few too many late nights? How many got your wife woke up early, had you working out? And you're just exhausted right now. You're on the treadmill, your back is aching because you didn't tilt your pelvis when you did the sit-up. Share with others. Here's a gift for you of the spoil of the enemies of the Lord. Woo-hoo! Ain't it wonderful? How many know that the wealth of the wicked is coming to the righteous? How many know that the spoil is coming? How many know that the wealth of this world right now is prepared for us? You know, God's going to download it on you, but he's going to download it on people of faith and people of faith who are ready to share with others. Here's a gift. Freely you've received, freely give. Bless others as a testimony of God's goodness in your life. A couple quick slides. You're really ready. Just a couple. One more. Only a couple days later, David was anointed king of Judah. It could have been the next day. In the timeline, it could have been the very next day that the people of Judah, and it might have been because he came with all those gifts, you know. I mean, every town, look at all those places he named, and then it says the people went and got David, and they made him the king of Judah. You're one day away from your destiny, and you know what? Everything you own got ripped off, and you're only one day away from your greatest breakthrough. How many know that sometimes when you're right in front of your greatest breakthrough, it gets really ugly? And you know what? When it gets really ugly, you can get dogged down, ugly, and mad, and you can say, I will not be ripped off from my destiny. You know, David got mad, dog, ugly, and he took everything back, and he blessed everybody on the way, and then just a day or two later, he was anointed king of Judah. He walked into his destiny because he knew how to run and pursue and recover all. He knew how to manifest bold faith. Oh, one more slide, one more slide. Obstacles will reveal what you truly believe and who you really are. They introduce you to yourself. You will find out what you honestly believe in the face of a problem. In the midst of unbelievable circumstances, believe. In the midst of unbelievable circumstances, believe. Because you are seated with Christ in heavenly realms far above all power and all authority. And you have dominion to be established in every realm. Believe. Stand in faith and take back what's yours. Just for the record, there's hands waving and some people are even smiling. So it's good. Come on, stand up. Let's pray. Jesus, we want to be what you're looking for, Lord. We see in the revelation of your word the kind of heart that you're after, the kind of passion that you're looking for. And we believe your promises. We believe your word. I will not let the devil steal from me the revelation of your truth. I will not let him rob me of the living words and the powerful promises that you've made. We read it in Psalm 138. It says, you will fulfill the purpose that you created me for. You will fulfill the purpose that you have in my life. You are going to bring it to pass. And I will not let the enemy try to rob me of that promise. No matter what it looks like, no matter how ugly it gets, no matter what, my eyes are fixed on you. I will seek you and I will believe that you will give me a living word that I can obey and I can pursue and I can overtake and I can recover everything. And in the middle of it, I can stay sweet and I can be a blessing to everybody that I come through and come across. And Father, I am going to be that one who knows how to manifest bold faith in times of adversity so that your power and your majesty can be revealed and your goodness can be established, because I am just one moment away from the greatest breakthrough my life has ever experienced, and I will not forfeit the grace that could be mine by wallowing in self-pity and defeat, but I will lift up my chin, I will lift up my head, I will still myself, and I will get strength, and I will stir myself up in the word of God and in the revelation of truth, and I will appropriate everything that you've promised for me, and I thank you for it, Lord, and I thank you for this year. And I thank you that this is going to be a year of unprecedented breakthrough and just deluges of outpouring, miracles like we've never known, breakthroughs like we've never known. We will not let the enemy keep us from our destiny, but we're going to appropriate it all. We're going to go and pursue and recover all and be a blessing to everyone we come across. So, Father, I pray this word would find hearts tonight, lives tonight, that this word would be alive, would be living and powerful, that this word, this living word, would grow up and the incarnation would take place, and Christ in us, the hope of glory, would come into full manifestation for all the world to see your greatness and your goodness and your glory. So I just bless, and I just take this word, I stick it down deep into good, fertile hearts that will bring forth a harvest of righteousness for your glory. And we give you thanks and praise for it all. And we all said a big hearty amen. A big hearty amen. And they all said a big hearty amen. That means so be it. That means come forth, word in my life. That means come on, come on, come on. Amen. Well, bless you. We're going to have coffee right now. And I'm going to show you how to do a proper sit-up, all right? So don't want you hurting yourself. Just kidding about the sit-up thing, but we will have coffee. Amen. Bless you.